Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 5, 2014, or is it 8-10-2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled In the Garden. Come to the garden, how long, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my head, the sound of your disclosing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds are so singing, and the melody that he gave to me, then my heart is ringing. On he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go to the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. On he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his home, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none of us ever known. Part six of Everlasting Kingdom of David. We're going to continue on our series. We're reading from Timely Greetings, Volume 2, Number 6. And we're on page 16. We are going to read a few scriptures from the KJV with the words Everlasting Kingdom. And here in Daniel 4:3 it says, "How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." Okay, Psalms 145:13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. And Daniel 7:27. And their kingdom, and the dominion, and the greatness of their kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now notice it said, the kingdom under the whole heaven. This is the everlasting kingdom of heaven, but this is the one that comes down in these last days in the 12th parabolic hour. And this is the one that Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is a, and his underservant David is assigned over this kingdom. Freedom Heart says the kingdom under the whole heaven is here on this earth. The everlasting kingdom of heaven has been established here in these last days. Right here with his head, the headwaters for it is right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. We'll go out from here and spread all over the world. Okay, now in 2 Peter 1:11 it says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Master and Savior Yahshua Messiah." Daniel 4:34, "And at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." Daniel 7:14, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his dominion and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." Okay, now let's turn to Daniel 2 and let's read some scriptures there. Matter of fact, let's just read the whole second chapter of Daniel. "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream." "Then spake the Chaldeans unto the king and the Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. For the king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." But the answer again said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof." For the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom unto Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, Why the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went unto his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion. Now I want to make a point here. This is a comment I want to make about this dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Yahweh knows how to prepare information for the future. He has all power to do anything that needs to be done. And so there he is laying a foundation for this here book of Daniel to be written, there in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. That the compilation of all this information here in this book of Daniel is compiled in a book there in Daniel 12:4. And that book is sealed up until the time of the end. Now all these things that was recorded in those 12 chapters of Daniel are for the unfolding unto us here in this 12th parabolic hour. And our Heavenly Father has laid that impression upon me, that has given me the strong impression that this is what I must endeavor to do, is to, through much fasting and prayer, to bring forth this dream completely. Okay, we have bits and pieces of it, we don't have it all. Let us go ahead. Verse 18, Daniel 2, that they would desire mercies of the Elohim of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the Elohim of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of Elohim forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. Now this says you have to know understanding. He only gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. So now we understand why Brother Johnson, our last angel of the seventh candlestick for the Adventist Church, why he so miserably failed. Because he needed wisdom, as King Solomon knew that he needed, if he was going to be able to be a judge over Israel and over all the people with all their many different problems that he would encounter over the years. And so every leader in Israel needs to pray that he has this wisdom from Yahweh. But first you've got to have this talent of being wise. That's a gift. You have to, if you're a wise person, then he gives wisdom to the wise. And he gives knowledge unto them that know understanding. If you know how to understand the prophecies are right when he gives them to you, and you discharge that information to the people, then he says he gives wisdom unto those people that are wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. And where they say in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim, I will also forget thy children. So essentially what happened, Gilead Center, that the leadership had lost and had forgotten the law of Yahweh. It says, sin is the transgression of the law. The law, singular. That means anything that's under law, that if you transgress it, that's a sin. For he changed, verse 21, Daniel 2. For he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and sitteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. That he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou Elohim of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, for whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise man, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is an Elohim in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, which shall be in the latter days, for thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known unto thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me from any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation unto the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of the fine gold, his breast and his arms of the silver, his belly and his thighs of the brass, his legs of the iron, his feet part of the iron and part of the clay. Thou sawest tell that a stone was cut out without the hand, which smote the image upon his feet that were of the iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the Elohim of heaven hath given thee a wisdom, or a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And whithersoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior unto thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh into pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of the potter's clay and part of the iron, the kingdom shall be divided, that there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. And in the days of these kings, shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. For the king answered unto Daniel, said, of a truth it is that your Elohim is an Elohim of gods, and a Yahweh of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, folks, this is going to happen again. He's going to make his governor of Judea, once again, going to make him governor. Okay, he's going to make him a ruler. Going to make him ruler over all the chief of the governors and over all the wise men of Babylon. Okay, that's the position that he's given this office of Elijah David. Elijah's the master prophet. His Jezreel of Hosea's firstborn. And he's the master prophet that will fulfill these prophecies that we're reading about. Then the Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of the Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Okay, page 16, Time of Reading, Volume 2, Number 6. We're going to continue now. Reading from Vitiharas. Lewdness flees away at the children's protest. Revival and Reformation wins. And we're in part 6 once again. It says, for the descendants of Jacob, who were assimilated by the Gentile nations, therefore were to multiply as the sand of the sea. They are the ones who, after becoming Christians, Vitiharas called it Christians, meaning Christ followers of the apostles, are again called the sons of living Elohim. Of those who first embraced the Christian faith, as with the Apostle Peter speaking thus, which in the time past were not a people, but are now the people of the Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2:10. And the Apostle John says, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of Elohim, even unto them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Now we see that the prophecy of Hosea 1 begins with the house of Israel and Judah, and brings us down through the stream of the time unto the apostolic era. Vitiharas called it Christian era. For the light on the church in the Christian period, we turn to Hosea 1:11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. Now, Vitiharas is talking about this prophecy being fulfilled in this 12th hour. This is Hosea 1:11. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Okay. The day of Jezreel comes in the 12th parabolic hour, and he's the master prophet, as I've told you. He's actually the same thing as Antipas Elijah, Malachi 4:5. But the word of the Elohim therefore definitely declares that the subjects of the torn down kingdoms, Judah and Israel, as Christians along with the Gentiles that have joined them, will gather together and appoint themselves a king. In a similar symbolism, the prophet was told that after many days of the obscurity and wandering, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahweh, the Elohim, and David, their king. Evidently, David is the one head whom they appoint, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness, and his goodness is his mercies, and his right arm, which is his appointed lawgiver, the one that interprets the law visibly. That would be antithetical to Elijah. Okay. In the latter days, Hosea 3:5. Continuing with the same family illustration and pointing unto the apostolic era, in the Anatot, the Yahshua commands, Hosea 2:1, say ye unto your brethren, Ame, and unto your sisters, Aruama. Here we see that the names of the two children of chapter 1 are again mentioned, but the first two letters of each name have been dropped. Lo Aruama has become Ruama, and Lo Ami has become Ami. Now the fact that there are the brother and sister of the Jezreel bears out of the truth that the one whom the Yahshua commands to speak unto them is Jezreel. This is antithetical Elijah David, the firstborn of the three. Okay, now Brother Johnson was the firstborn in 1970 of the twin brothers born under anatypical Isaac. But this Jezreel is the firstborn. This is the firstborn unto Jesse. Jesse represents the mother of he's the founder of the Adventist Church in our day. And his spiritual offspring is the eighth son, David. And he's the firstborn of the Spirit. Brother Johnson is the firstborn of the flesh, the spiritual twin brother of Jacob, Esau. Okay, so you have a firstborn in 1970 to start the 11th parabolic hour, to be ruler in that time period over the 11th, Mount Zion's 11th hour kingdom, set up in 1970 with Brother Johnson. Then you have the firstborn of the Spirit that is set up to rule over the everlasting kingdom of David that succeeds the 11th hour, 2002. It's that pure and simple. So Jezreel is the firstborn of the three. So Jezreel is the master prophet. He's the eldest sibling. And his two younger ones is Ami and Ruami, a brother and a sister. So there is a remnant then that comes out of Davidia, which is Ami. And there is a remnant that comes out of the Advent, shepherd's rod, which is Lo-Ami, is Ruama, Ruama, and Ami. Ruama is a rod, let's say, and because Jezreel represents the Adventist Church, his younger siblings are the rod and the branch Davidians. Okay? Now, what is it all about? It is not too difficult to see, for the one under whom Elohim speaks, Jezreel represents the prophet. This prophet would be found in Malachi 4:5. Malachi calls it Elijah, whereas Jeremiah and Isaiah and Hosea calls him David, and Ezekiel calls him David, more preferably. His brother and sister Ami and Ruami can only represent the church membership, both male and female. And that's the remnant, though. It represents the remnant, both male and female. In the actuality, Jezreel must deliver Elohim's message unto them. So Jezreel, antitypical David, delivers his message then unto the Davidians and the shepherd rod at the end of the 11th hour. And here is the message, Hosea 2:2. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife. Okay, so when I gave the message to the prophet of Gilead Sinners, July 14, 2002, what actually took place? Okay, it says in Hosea 2:2, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife. Okay, so who is his wife then? You find his wife mentioned in Jeremiah 33:14-15. It is the righteous branch, and in Jeremiah 23:5, the righteous branch that grows up unto David is his wife. Okay, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. The fact that Elohim himself calls the prophet Hosea's visionary wife his own wife reveals that she represents the church, that Hosea represents Elohim, and that while Jezreel represents the mouthpiece of Elohim, Ami and Ruami represents the church membership. In the childhood, Hosea 1, they represent the Old Testament church, the Hebrews. But in their youth, having their names altered, Hosea 2, they represent the New Testament church, the Christians. Okay. Now that the laity at the command of Elohim are through a prophet to plead with the church, therefore the Reformation here called forth is sponsored by the inspiration and carried out by the laity. It is the long-expected revival and reformation unto the latter sin, and hence a layman's movement called forth by the revived spirit of the prophecy. And this prophecy, you see, the denomination is by the Elohim himself charged with the whoredom, that having illicit connections with the world, for this lewdness she must give up if she is to obtain favor with the Yahweh. These are not man's words, you understand, but Elohim, and should we not be grateful that he is doing everything he can to save us? For the church must repent, says the Yahweh, Hosea 2:3, lest I strip her naked and sit her as in the day that she is born, and make her as a wilderness, and sit her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. For the denomination often boasts of gain in the membership children, but Elohim charges that those whom she brings in are illegitimate children, and how could it be otherwise if the church herself is corrupted with the world? What else could her converts be? What would free them from the worldly influences if she, the ministry, is herself tainted with the practices of the world? Indeed, her converts cannot be lawful children. Hosea 2:5, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. For the church has gone after the world because she mistakenly thinks that her support comes from the worldlings, from her lovers. Hosea 2:6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with the thorns and make thee wall, that she shall not find her path. Here we see that the church proposes that Elohim disposes her plans do not work out as expected. She loses her way as does a ship without chart or compass drifting at sea. Hosea 2:7. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return unto my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Again, we see that trials and adverse circumstances are for our good. For thus is the church brought unto her right senses. Hosea 2:8-12. For she did not know that I gave her her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for the Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof. And I will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, wherever she hath said, These are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. From these verses we see that it was just such a departure from the Elohim that caused the church in her early apostolic era to lose her path and all her possessions, including her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts. But you know, this is repeated for a spiritual Israel today. The Adventist Church produced a daughter that was given the inspiration to restore all of these feast days, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts, and completely restore it back to its rightful order. You know, that was quite an accomplishment for the Adventist Church. They produced Gilead Center, 1970, and run for 33 years, producing a perfect calendar every year, putting Yahweh people back on true time and keeping them there for 33 solid years that I remember. But keep in mind that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was in charge of this ministry by virtue of the office of inspiration, putting a prophet in charge of her candlestick. So that gave her the authority and the commission to be labeled as a representative for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Gilead Center, by virtue of the fact that she had fulfilled the 2300-day prophecy for the Adventist, where Sister White wrote after 1844 and said, after the 2300 days, the sanctuary is to be restored and put back into its rightful order. Well, that took place about 126 years later in 1970 with Gilead Center. And then, as it happened in the type of the early apostolic movement, after the apostles fell away, all the spiritual leaders with the inspiration had fallen away in the first century, and the enemy came in the form of a pagan Roman government, and infiltrated the apostolic movement that was falling away by then, and took her captive, and caused her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbath, and all her solemn feasts to be taken away. Okay, he says, this is exactly what happened when the Dark Ages of the religion began. The pagans in whose clutches the church fell were no more to blame for the church's going into the darkness than were the Chaldeans of destroying Judah and her temple. For the real blame falls on the apostolic congregation herself. And that's even higher if the blame fell on the antipodal apostolic congregation at Kermit, Texas, Rodus Johnson. Rodus Johnson didn't realize, but he was in charge of the antipodal apostolic movement. For the disciples had the typical apostolic movement. Okay? And as the disciples were put in charge of that movement before they were converted, they were put in charge of it. Likewise, Rodus Johnson, before there was anybody came out of Gilead Center converted, they were unconverted, but they were in charge of the antipodal apostolic movement. And this should be a lasting lesson unto each of us, that we should never again have illicit connection with the world, should never depart from the Yeshua and Yahweh our Father. Okay, now let us read what other experiences the church was to go through. It says that in Hosea 2:13-14, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense unto them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, saith the Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. Notice that the Yahweh visits the church not when she is in a good spiritual standing with him, but when she is in her greatest idolatry. Indeed, he could not visit her at a more opportune time, because only when she is in the greatest darkness can she possibly discern light. So as the Gilead sinner apostatized in the great darkness, and by 2002, Yahshua came and visited her, and he brought her his light that he had, because he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, so he brought that light with his mercy with him to the leadership of Gilead's hand. Okay, 2002. When she was at when she was apostatized in the full idolatry. For when Gilead Center started in 1970, she didn't practice near the idolatry she did 33 years later, or 32 years later. And her condition, you know, can never improve unless he should call on her. Thus it was in John the Baptist's day, also when the Protestant Reformation came, and thus it is today. Elohim knows how to save, for the saving of his chief concern. For the Yahweh Elohim requires certain things of his people. If they say, I will not give up my heart to do this thing, Yahshua lets them go on in their supposed wise judgment without the heavenly wisdom, until this scripture, Isaiah 28:13, is fulfilled. You are not to say, I will follow the Yahweh's guidance up until a certain point. That is in harmony with my judgment. And then hold fast unto your own ideas, refusing to be molded after the Yahweh's similitude. Let the question be asked, is this the will of Yahweh? If not, is this the opinion or judgment of so-and-so? Testimonies and Ministries, page 419. And what is Yahweh's promise now unto his church? Hosea 2:15. And I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Acre for a door of hope. And she shall stand there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she camped out of the land of Egypt, as a result of her vineyards being restored, and also of her being given the valley of Acre for a door of hope. And the church is the same as in the days of her youth, as when she camped out of Egypt and lodged in the promised land. So this church is talking about that, given the door of hope, the valley of Acre, is the Adventist church. And that valley showed up in the 11th parabolic hour from 1970 to 2003. What could her vineyards be but her own land? And if the valley of Acre is for a door of hope unto her, what can it be but what it was in Joshua's time? Removal of the Achans of today from her midst, Hosea 2:15. Indeed, this is her only hope. In fact, even more so than it was in the day of Israel's defeat at Ai, the gate unto the promised land. Okay. The Valley of Acre showed up in our day in Kermit, Texas, out there in the desert. It showed up in the 11th hour, 1970-2003. And that was our door of hope for the Adventist church. That was her door of hope. So those that finally came through that door, then they were delivered to possess the land. And that land in the Antitype is Texas. So the house of David is the one that came through that door of hope. And it's occupying the promised land. Texas is a promised land, promised in these latter days, for the fulfillment of the prophecy about bringing forth a righteous nation and bringing forth the antithetical Elijah to bring the message and interpretation of the prophecies to effect a revival and reformation so that it can be set up right here, because Israel is in such a turmoil over there since they became a nation again in 1948, and she's been in a terrible strait, and so now Yahweh has quietly here in Texas, across the waters from the land of Israel, raised up the infant kingdom, and it is to prepare itself and the quiet and peace when there's no turmoil or strife, anything going on around her. See, the Jerusalem here in Austin, there's no turmoil or strife or anything going on because the people don't know. The people and the world don't know that this is the antitypical promised land that is to be set up in the peaceful time. This can't have been set up in the peaceful time. And then whenever, finally at last, when this kingdom comes forth, then Obama and the leaders of the United States government, when they see this come forth, they're going to be mighty surprised and shocked. But when they do, they're going to get alarmed. And they're going to form their army and come against her. Okay. Let's go on. Thus, it says, for the class who do not feel grieved over their own spiritual declension, now mourn over the sins of others, will be left without the seal of the Elohim. The Yahweh commissions his messengers, the men, with the slaughtering weapons in their hands. Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Here we see that the church, the Yahshua's sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of Elohim, for the ancient men, those unto whom Elohim has given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for the miracles and the marked manifestations of the Elohim's power as in the former days, for the times have changed. These words strengthen their unbelief, and they say, the Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. Thus peace and safety is the cry from men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Elohim's people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Elohim. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. Hosea 2:16. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Bela. So it is that after the hypocrites and sinners are taken out of the way, the church shall no longer call the Savior Bela, Yahweh, or Lord, I mean, and it shall no longer call her Bela, or parentheses, Lord, which is a pagan title for Baal, but she shall call him Ishi, a husband. The significance is that then he will truly be her husband, whereas now he is unto her, as it were, only some great personality. Hosea 2:18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword out, and the battle out of the earth, and will make them lie down safely. Here is peace, the only peace that one can have today, if he so desires. This is peace, overflowing with the safety. The saints, after the sinners have been removed from among them, need not fear beasts, fowls, or creeping things of the ground, neither gun nor sword. They shall lie down in the confidence and assurance that nothing shall hurt them. For he whose fan is in his hand will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his feet into the garner, that he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Matthew 3:12. Hosea 2:19-21. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know thee, Yahweh, and I will come, and it will come to pass in that day. I will hear, saith the Yahweh, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. In saying that the Yahweh will hear the heavens, and the heavens, the earth, inspiration actually says that when these things take place on the earth, the Yahweh is to be in the midst of his people. This is Yahshua, actually. That he is to speak from the earth unto his subjects in heaven, and heaven shall hear him. Okay, so who is in heaven that will hear Yahshua when he's here on earth speaking? It will be the Father. The Father's in heaven. This is how we know that this is Yahshua here on earth speaking for his people, for his kingdom. Hosea 2:22. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. To hear the corn, the wine, and the oil is to hear them speak, and since real corn, wine, and oil cannot speak, they must be figurative of the spiritual food and drink, figurative of the mighty message in the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. And by the fact that the people of the earth shall hear Jezreel. Okay, the mouthpiece of Elohim. It is made clear that the call, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, Revelation 18:4, will accomplish its appointed work. Those who come out go into the aforementioned place of the safety, and those who do not hear Jezreel shall perish, as did the Jews who rejected the prophets in their day. Let us now review our study of today by the following of this graphic illustration. Here we see Jezreel, Lo Ruama, and Lo Ami as little children, pictorially representing the kingdoms of the Israel and Judah in their calamities, a complete but brief history of the Old Testament church and her people. Now those calamities reach clear up to the Adventist church in the New Testament. Then we see that the letters Lo are dropped from the names of Ruama and Ami, denoting a change of the names. Jews called Christians. No, Jews were called apostolics, meaning mercy and my people, instead of no mercy and not my people. Jezreel's name, though, remains the same, and as he represents the prophets of Elohim in all times, this shows that they are the descendants of Jacob, and therefore we must hear and obey them. Okay, that's a good connection right here to realize. Jezreel's name represents all the prophets of all time. Okay, so the last prophet Elijah then would be represented by Jezreel's name. For the family of little children representing the people of the Old Testament church, and as a youth representing the New Testament church, show that the spiritual growth has been made through the stream of the time, that they are now grown, able to take strong meat, and truly to be the reformers unto the congregation and the missionaries unto the world. We also see that the same mother and the same father, along with the same children, represent both the Old and the New Testament churches, that the descendants of Jacob and the reality are the old olive trees, Romans 11:24, that the only way that the Gentiles can get into their kingdom is for them to be grafted into the old olive tree, Jews or Gentiles. All must join in if they are to be in the kingdom. This can be done only by our own consent and action. Now, while the Spirit is pleading with us, and while the Yahweh stands ready to do the work, no one need be excluded. No one need remain a lukewarm citizen unless he so chooses. My hope is that all will choose life rather than death. Next, we see that the church as a whole, as a family, is composed of a father, a mother, and of the sons and a daughter, that the father is Yahweh, that the wife is the ministry, those who bring in the converts, that the children are the laity. We see also that the church woman was married unto the Yahweh in her youth, in the day she came out of Egypt, and this Yahweh was Yahshua. They were married unto the Son. Now, this is right. That although the ministry as a whole never advanced from one truth unto another, for the congregation wife, Israel, continued by being replaced by new and successive ministers time and again, and that's the last one was in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, from Vertus W. Johnson to Denton Bronfen, Antipical Esau to Antipical Jacob, so to speak. And now that she is deep in the whoredoms, obviously she is again to be replaced by a new ministry. And so we're talking about the 11th hour, the last one, last stronghold of the Adventist, last daughter of the Adventist Church at Kermit 2002. And thus will she become faithful unto her father, that this will be accomplished by taking away the sinners from her midst. Then shall she be given her vineyard, and then will she and all her children live in peace and safety. Our last sign about sinners being taken from our midst was when Alan DeLong blasphemed me that day, the week after Pentecost, 2014. And so he successfully took him and his friend Sharon out of the church because they were living in open sin and trying to cram it down the kingdom's throat. And Yahweh finally had enough of it. He had enough of the blasphemy, and by his Spirit he drove them out of here. Clearly then, a lewdness shall actually flee away, and this revival and reformation brought forth by this layman's movement shall accomplish this given work. And so you see that as a result of the children's protest, the whole family of Elohim shall live happily in the peace and safety forevermore. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We will close this service now with a song. Anywhere with Yahshua, I can safely go. Anywhere with Yahshua, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me, and this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Yahshua, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Yahshua, I can safely go. Anywhere with Yahshua, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my home. Though his hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Yahshua is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Yahshua I can safely go. Anywhere with Yahshua I can go to sleep. When the gloomy shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken nevermore to roam. Anywhere with Yahshua will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. anywhere with Yahshua I can safely go.